It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Greg Pickle and Dustin Hockensmith here. We touched on training camp storylines, focused on the offense just a moment ago. We're going to do the same thing on the defense. Training camp kicks off on Friday, media day on Saturday. You're going to start to learn a little bit more. And by the way, Greg, media day is always one of my favorite days of the year, because you know you're usually talking to Penn State football players in a pretty controlled environment.
Right.
They're picked out. There's somebody always observing. But in this situation, they're just all over the field at Beaver Stadium, and you can just kind of go check in with all these guys you haven't heard from in a while, guys you haven't thought about in a while, and usually some pretty interesting stories come out.
Oh yeah.
And you know, everybody's optimistic, of course.
Yeah.
But before that, camp kicks off on Friday. You know, we spoke, you know, first and foremost earlier about the offense. Is this a group that can hold up its end of the bargain? So when you talk about the defense, you know, you got to kind of ask the same question. Is it a group that can be so dominant that it carries the day for Penn State? And I think there's a real possibility of that.
Yeah, you and me both. I do think that this unit for Brent Pry could be the best defense they've had in his tenure at Penn State. And they've had some pretty darn good units. But you just look across the board. As I guess the one concern I have is the defensive line. It just feels like it's being considered a foregone conclusion that group will be fine. And I'm not so sure that there's not some reasons to tap the brakes on that a little bit. Obviously, Etur Gross-Matos is a stud, but you know, Shaka Toney has yet to be a three-down guy in his career. We know what Robert Windsor can do, but who's going to start beside him, assuming it's Antonio Shelton? You know, we haven't seen him play that many snaps before. Same thing with P.J. Mustipher. So, you know, then you slide back to safety, and you have a pretty darn good three-way competition between Jaquan Brisker, Lamont Wade, and Jonathan Sutherland. And I think if you're Tim Banks, a safeties coach, you really have to hope that somebody steps up and separates himself, because you don't want to go into the season with three guys that all kind of do things the same way and none of them stands out. So all the pieces are there, but they do still have some questions to answer for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's probably fair to say that every defense in the country has questions to answer. You know, you have a certain amount of turnover, but for Penn State, a lot of confidence in this defensive end group. And you mentioned Shaka Toney hasn't yet emerged as a true three-down player. There's some belief, obviously, in the room, obviously with him, that he can do that. There's also Jason Owe lurking there. There's Shane Simmons lurking there. They're not without options opposite of Gross-Matos, but you know, you can't call any of those guys a sure thing yet. You know, Shaka Toney's got to play the best football of his life this year. Shane Simmons has to get healthy and stay healthy and stay consistent in his preparations because of that. If he does, then you do definitely see some upside for him too. And Jason Owe, I don't think we've talked about anybody more this offseason than him. We saw that, you know, in small doses last year as he was preserving his red shirt, but he's got some exciting potential. But you've seen a lot of guys, football's littered with examples of guys who have a lot of potential. It doesn't translate right away,
right?
Or, you know, so you have to pump the brakes a wee bit, on that defensive line, but there's definitely some potential. And I think that includes defensive tackle too. Robert Windsor, with presumably Antonio Shelton next to him, but with P.J. Mustipher there, with, you know, a guy like Damian Barber with potential to take a big step forward. There's Fred Hansard has a chance to, you know, if he's able to stay healthy, you should see a pretty good rotation there. Not sure thing, but you know, it's a good group from front to back on this defense, and it could be a group that creates just a lot of problems for other teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, just to go back real quick to your point about guys not realizing their potential right away, some of them just won't realize it at all. And that's something that nobody really wants to hear or talk about, but it's true. It's the fact that it's not easy to thrive at the college football level, especially at the FBS and the Big Ten and all that. So I think that, you know, sometimes there's a need to take a step back and just consider the fact that some guys you're expecting to be contributors who are highly regarded recruits just won't be. And that's okay. It works out that way sometimes. So we'll see. But, you know, I do think that for Penn State on the defensive line, especially. It's I don't want to say it's boom or bust years for a lot of those guys, but I think it is for a handful.
Well, and you know, there were last year, I think there were probably boom or bust years that we didn't really characterize that way, where it's either you take command of your role on a depth chart or your role on the roster, or a young guy's going to do that for you. And that was one of the reasons that we saw so many guys moving on, is that
right.
a lot of young guys, an inordinate number of young guys, claimed roles that, you know, previously you would have assumed, you know, a redshirt sophomore would have taken. So after 2-3 years on campus, it is time, and I don't think it's hyperbole for us to characterize it that way. It's time to make your move, to take your shot. And if you don't do it then, it gets a little murky whether you get a chance to do it again.
Right, yeah, because, you know, and that's going to become more and more prevalent. Again, it's not like kids just finally got the power to transfer. They could do it before. But with the way it sort of works now, if you don't like what your path your career's on in 2 or 3 years at the school you're at, you might start looking around and just wondering where things might be better. So we'll have to see how that might impact Penn State's numbers moving forward.
Let's look at the safety spot. I know we're going to break that down in a little bit more detail coming up. That's actually next segment. But, you know, I think early in camp, you're looking for clues there. You're looking for anything. And the tricky part as a fan or as somebody who follows is that you're going to have to take words from, you know, the coaching staff or whatever and try to figure that out. There's going to be really optimistic words that are delivered for a purpose. But Lamont Wade, Jaquan Brisker, and Jonathan Sutherland, boy, it is just hard to say right now who's going to be the guy out of that group. You know, there are reasons to believe that any of the three can do it. So that's, you know, as camp kicks off and as you get a chance on Saturday to ask around, I'm sure that's going to be a really big theme, because I don't think that there's a position that's more wide open on the depth chart right now than that safety spot. And Penn State's got they've got a decent situation there because they've got three guys who can presumably play starter caliber, starting caliber safety. But you need one. You need one to emerge. You need that somebody to make that an easy decision for you.
Right, exactly. You need somebody to step up and be the guy, and not just make it easy, but make it clear that he's the one that can go out and compete at the high. I mean, look, Penn State needs a guy. They've had some darn good safety play last couple years from unheralded guys, Trey Apke, Malik Golden. I mean, these weren't guys that were blowing anybody away as recruits, but they come in, they develop at Penn State, they play for a couple of years, and now both of them are in the NFL. So they need a guy, though, that can, you know, really attack the ball and really make plays back there. They've had some good safeties, but turnovers is not one area they've been strong in, especially not interceptions. So hopefully, I think you have to consider that whoever wins that job will be the guy who is the best suited to do that, along with the other responsibilities he'll be given.
I think I've made this comparison before, but it's like in baseball, you know, is your shortstop going to be able to make every play that's in front of him, every routine play? That's what Penn State has gotten from the safety spot, is to make the routine play, but nobody who's really been able to make that spectacular play, and to be able to make plays that get other offenses off the field, to create sudden momentum shifts. I think as a whole for Penn State's defense, that's just been a little lacking over the years. And I think it's that, you know, we knew that they've focused on they've wanted to focus on taking the ball away. The trick is, okay, I mean, everybody wants to take the ball away. What are you doing to actually make that happen? And to a certain point, you know, like I think if you've got a bunch of guys on your roster who that's not their strength, that's never been their strength, that probably never will be their strength, it doesn't matter what you're doing in practice. If those guys don't have a gift for that, then you're not going to be able to do that. I think what has shifted is that Penn State has got a lot more, exponentially more guys who that could be a strength for them. So if you add those types of guys to what your coaching is saying about trying to create big plays, you should be able to start taking steps in that direction.
Yeah.
And I think that includes the safety group.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, the speed will be a big part of this defense too. Not only will these guys be expected to make plays on the ball, but they'll be expected to fly around and give opposing offensive trouble stretching the field. So I think whoever is to pick at safety will have to be able to do that as well.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking ahead to training camp. We're also looking ahead to the 2019 season. If you're doing that, you have to start your preparation any game weekend at Penn State. Check out GoPSURV.com. They deliver the ultimate tailgating experience. You come up, you rent an RV for the weekend. You arrive on Friday. You can leave on Sunday. They take care of transportation for you to and from Beaver Stadium, so you don't have to deal with that whole mess, especially when the weather isn't ideal. You don't have to deal with any of that when parking plans change, when the grass lots close.
Right.
I think the peace of mind that comes with that, never mind the fact that I think it's just cool to stay in an awesome RV. You can, you know, it's just a tailgating lot. Before you get to the tailgating lots outside of Beaver Stadium, that's why we call it the ultimate tailgating experience. Check out what they have to offer at GoPSURV.com and see what they can do for you as you look to check out a Penn State game this season. As camp kicks off, Greg, I'm very curious about, you know, redshirt statuses across the board, but especially at that linebacker position with Brandon Smith, who looks like he was just made in the lab to play linebacker at the college level. Mm-hmm. The question is, what are the opportunities going to be like for him with a bunch of veterans around him? And then Lance Dixon as well, who I think you can probably say is the most athletic member of the 2019 recruiting class. He arrived in January. He doesn't really come to mind as far as somebody who you think is going to play a big role on the defense, but he's such a freak physically. He might just force his way in. He has the same feel to him as Jason Oway last year, where you're just waiting for that athleticism to burst onto the scene. Penn State had to work hard to temper that last year and preserve Oway's red shirt. They might have to do the same thing with Lance Dixon.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough, but I don't. To me, it feels like you can either play both of them on special teams, or you end up playing one and redshirting the other one. I think that's really the only way to go about this. To me, Dustin, I think it's probably best for Penn State to just go ahead and play both of those guys, because I don't get the sense that they're guys that are going to be here forever. And because of that, you want to get as much out of them as you can. So even if you have to play the guy on, special teams and the coverage teams and make him a member of Joe Lorig's squad, that's fine. Jesse Lucado played in 13 games last year while doing that, so there's no issue doing so. But, again, I think that you have to be smart about it and see what those guys do in the non-conference, and maybe they aren't ready for that big step, so you redshirt them. So time will tell, but obviously they're loaded at linebacker, and certainly those two guys are a part of the reason why.
Do you think Jan Johnson's the guy in the middle, like the guy in the middle from weeks 1 through 12 and beyond?
Yeah, I do. I do think so. I think that they've been pretty consistent about sticking with veterans. They think they can help them win. I mean, we saw it with Koa Farmer last year. So, yeah, I would expect that it would be, for Jan Johnson to be in that position for the long run.
We're going to keep our focus on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to continue our position preview series looking at the safeties. We touched on a few of those names to watch. We'll go a lot more in depth right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.